Siguen los ataques israelíes contra la Franja de Gaza. Al menos 21 personas han muerto en las últimas horas. La mayoría de ellos están en Yan Yunis, en el sur. 50.000 personas han muerto en esta zona desde que inició la ofensiva israelí desde el pasado 7 de octubre. Estamos a esta hora con un asesor del ministro de Asuntos Exteriores del Estado palestino, Omar Abdallah. Por favor, Laura, pues saludémoslo y preguntémosle qué a esta hora, cuál es el panorama en la Franja de Gaza.
Morning, sir. Thank you so much for being here today with us at W Radio.
Hi, good morning.
Sir, we want to begin by asking you, could you give us an overview? Could you share with us what is the outlook of the situation that is going now in Gaza?
Yeah, the situation in Gaza is horrible. It's terrific. It is catastrophic. Unfortunately, Israel, with the breakdown of the ceasefire, attacked the civilians in Gaza. Israel is trying to normalize the attack on hospitals, normalize the attack on schools, normalize the attack on civil objects and civil infrastructure. More than 1,000 of Palestinians were killed or injured after the ceasefire, after the breakdown of the ceasefire. At the same time, this genocidal war is continuing in Sector Gaza, in the Strip, Gaza Strip. Unfortunately, the silence of the international community is encouraging Israel to commit more crimes, more violations of international law, humanitarian law. Unfortunately, the assistance and delivering the assistance to our people in Gaza also was stopped, was blocked by the occupying power. They are preventing the entry of all assistance. There is thousands of trucks are waiting on the borders to enter to Gaza while our people are starving. And Israel is using starvation as a method of war. Unfortunately, at the same time, there is no fuel to provide the necessary and necessary issues for our people in Gaza. At the same time, this systematic policies and systematic aggression is continued also in the West Bank, as you know. And there is no stability in Gaza if there is no stability in the West Bank. And vis-a-vis all what is happening in the 12% territory, now they are trying to fulfill their program in displacing and transferring our people out of Palestine using the ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian people as the way of resolving this conflict by genocide or by forcible transfer. This is the situation now in Gaza. We're calling for once to go back once again for the ceasefire. We were talking that we need a permanent and sustainable ceasefire in accordance with the resolution of the Security Council 2735, because that resolution was adopted by the Security Council for a ceasefire. But it's not just a ceasefire. It's a comprehensive framework toward the recovery, the relief, the early recovery of Gaza and the reconstruction of Gaza. Adding to this, the political horizon that tackled the root causes of this conflict.
Sir?
The root causes. Yes?
Can you let me translate this very quickly?
Sorry. Yes.
It's okay. No, don't worry. Bueno, nos dice que lo que está pasando ahora, que la situación ahora en Gaza es terrorífica y es catastrófica, que desafortunadamente hubo este alto al fuego, y que tras este alto al fuego Israel está tratando de normalizar ataques a hospitales, a escuelas, a lugares donde viven civiles. Nos dice que que más de 1,000 palestinos han muerto desde que se rompió este alto al fuego, y él menciona también el silencio de la comunidad internacional. Dice también que la asistencia humanitaria ha parado por completo y que no están dejando entrar esta ayuda humanitaria ni combustible que necesitan para poder operar. Está diciendo que Israel utiliza el hambre como un método de guerra, y también menciona que Cisjordania también se está viendo afectado por todo esto. Dice que si no hay estabilidad en Gaza, no va a poder haber estabilidad en Cisjordania, y que es necesario llegar a resolver este conflicto. Él pide que vuelva este alto al fuego, pero más allá que un simple alto al fuego, un alto al fuego que se pueda mantener, un alto al fuego de acuerdo con el comité que vaya de acuerdo con el Comité de la Seguridad de Naciones Unidas. Y bueno, eso era lo que nos estaba contando en estos momentos.
Además, Esther, nuestro invitado, el asesor del ministro de Asuntos Exteriores del Estado palestino, hablaba del silencio de la comunidad internacional. Y por ahí quiero enfocar mi pregunta, porque la alta representante para la política exterior de la Unión Europea, Kaya Kallas, quien se encuentra en Jerusalén, ha declarado que reanudar las negociaciones es el único camino posible para acabar con el sufrimiento de ambos lados. ¿Está nuestro invitado de acuerdo con esta afirmación?
So speaking about the silence from the international community, Kaya Kallas, she's in Jerusalem now, and she said that it is necessary to resume negotiations between both sides to bring on peace for both sides. Do you agree with this statement?
You know, actually, when I said that the reconstruction plan and the ceasefire should be linked to a political horizon, we were talking about something tangible on politics, not only going back to negotiations while the Israelis, they don't want to negotiate. We need to identify what does it mean two-state solution. Two-state solution means ending the Israeli occupation, ending the Israeli illegal occupation as stipulated in the advisory opinion by the International Court of Justice, and fulfilling the rights of the Palestinian people to self-determination, independence, and return for refugees. So the issue is not only to sit to negotiate. The issue is how much Israel is ready to implement the UN resolutions and to fulfill the rights of the Palestinian people while it's committing genocide and forcible transfer against our people.
Bueno, Laura nos dice que acá lo que, pues que él menciona las negociaciones y el alto al fuego, que qué tan tangibles es todo esto. Dice que es necesaria una solución en dos pasos. El primer paso es finalizar la ocupación israelí, y por otro lado, dice que es necesaria la autodeterminación por el lado palestino. Dice que la pregunta en este momento es qué tan dispuesto está Israel a cumplir con todos estos objetivos y pues a dar de su lado.
Hoy en día se observan varios operativos militares israelíes en la franja de Gaza desde la ruptura del alto al fuego. Sin embargo, usted como funcionario palestino, ¿cuáles son las exigencias que le pide al otro lado del conflicto, al gobierno en Gaza, el grupo terrorista Hamas?
Right now, currently, we're seeing multiple military operations in Gaza from the Israeli army. However, you as a Palestinian leader, what are the demands that you are asking from the other side, from Hamas in Gaza?
You know, first of all, we need to tackle the issue in its right context. The right context that there is an illegal occupation that is violating all the international law, as I said before, normalizing the attack on civilian objects and killing civilians. More than 45,000 already Palestinians were killed. The majority of them are women and children. So on the issue of what we are going to ask from Hamas, now we are asking from the international community. to pressure Israel to stop its aggression, because who broke the ceasefire? Israel, unfortunately, attacking the civilians in Gaza. And even the mediators, Egypt and Qatar, are still working to bring the calm once again to the situation in Gaza. All what we're talking now, that the Palestinian government is ready to assume its responsibilities in West Bank, including in Jerusalem and in Gaza Strip. That means that Hamas has nothing to do in controlling Gaza, because the legitimate government of Palestine will control all the occupied Palestinian territory with the acceptance of Hamas even or any other party in Gaza. There is a government, there is one authority, there is one law, and there is one weapon should be only controlling the situation and have only one police for the state of Palestine.
Bueno, acá nos dice, él dice que es necesario el contexto, dice que hay una ocupación ilegal por parte de Israel y dice que están normalizados los ataques a civiles, la mayoría siendo niños y mujeres, y bueno, le pide a la comunidad internacional que vuelva a hablar con Israel. Dice él que Israel rompió el alto al fuego hace unos meses y que esto está en manos de Israel. Y también menciona que la autoridad palestina es quien podría ser los que lleven esta administración. Dice que Hamas no va a controlar Gaza y que es necesario una sola entidad que maneje todo esto.
Quiero preguntarle a él sobre su opinión acerca del organismo que creó y que anunció el Ministerio de Defensa para lo que sería prácticamente una expulsión de la población de Gaza. Dice el ministro de Defensa que esto es para asegurar un desplazamiento seguro a terceros países, un desplazamiento voluntario.
We want to ask about your opinion about what the Ministry of Defense from Israel said about moving Gazans from their houses, their homes, and what they say that it is something to secure their safety. What is your opinion on that?
Under occupation and the law of occupation, first of all, there is nothing called voluntary transfer, because Israel is an occupying power. Israel and the program of the current government was to create conditions against the Palestinian people, to persecute the Palestinian people, to compel them and to expel, to compel them to go out and to leave the country. So this is the program of the current Israeli government. This is, we call it forced displacement and ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian people. And the only safety for the Palestinian people is to live in their homeland. That's why we came with the Arab plan for reconstruction, saying that we can reconstruct Gaza while the Gazans are there. And with the help of the Gazans and by their hands, rebuild their future in Gaza. But what is really needed is the ceasefire. If the Israeli war minister is worried about the safety of our people in Gaza, he should stop his genocide and stop all the practices, as the International Court of Justice said, that there is plausible genocide that the Israeli army and the occupying army is inflicting on the Palestinian people in Gaza. So the safety of the Palestinians means ending the Israeli occupation, the withdrawal of the Israeli occupying army from Gaza, to stop bombing and killing and chilling the civilians in Gaza and targeting them systematically and deliberately.
Bueno, él nos dice que la seguridad para los palestinos significa un alto al fuego y significa que paren de bombardear sus casas. Nos dice que la única forma de que ellos estén seguros realmente es que ellos se puedan quedar en sus casas, que no hay tal cosa como un movimiento voluntario. Dice que sí está preocupado para que paren esta guerra, pide que paren esta guerra y que
y que paren lo que él dice el genocidio. Sin embargo, bueno, él es un punto que le hace mucho énfasis, y es que es importante que haya este alto al fuego y que dejen a las personas en Gaza que se puedan quedar en sus casas y en donde han hecho sus vidas.
Uno de los asuntos importantísimos en esta guerra es la situación de los gazatíes, de esa situación crítica humanitaria que están viviendo por la guerra. Ahora que se ha reanudado de nuevo, se ha puesto, digamos, se ha acabado el alto el fuego y vuelven los combates, preocupa muchísimo la entrada de, o la no entrada de esa ayuda humanitaria. El ministro de Exteriores israelí ha asegurado que la distribución de la ayuda humanitaria en Gaza va a ser distinta a como fue en los meses de la guerra previos al alto el fuego, y que se producirá de forma que no dé poder a Hamas. Han defendido el bloqueo total al acceso de ayuda humanitaria, alegando que esta termina en manos del grupo Hamas. Entonces mi pregunta es ¿qué cantidad o digamos qué ayuda humanitaria real llega al pueblo gazatí en medio de esta guerra? Porque por un lado Israel apenas deja pasar ayuda humanitaria a Gaza, y por el otro Hamas ha creado una mafia.
Speaking about the humanitarian situation, you spoke about, with us earlier about the humanitarian resources that now that the fighting has returned to Gaza, the Israeli government has said that the distribution will be different, that they want to do it in a certain way so that it doesn't end up in the hands of Hamas and then Hamas giving it to people. So we want to ask how much of this humanitarian aid does it actually reach the people? Because we've seen that, first of all, Israel limits the entrance of it, but second of all, it ends up in the hands of Hamas in some sort of mafia. So how much does it actually reach the people, and what are the odds of them actually receiving this aid?
You know, actually, unfortunately looks like an Israeli argument of not sending the humanitarian aid to Gaza. I think that first of all, the entrance of the humanitarian aid should be in full scale, because those who are dying from starvation in Gaza because of lack of the entry, there is no limitation. There is lack of entry. They are not entering anything, nothing. Zero trucks are entering now to Gaza since more than 10 days. So the issue is not about Hamas taking the humanitarian aid or not. The issue is that Israel, they are not entering and giving any possibility to the humanitarian aid to enter to Gaza. Why? While in before the October 2023, there were more than 500 trucks entering in Gaza, and that was also less than the normal. Gaza needs more than 1,500 trucks a day to enter to Gaza. Not only humanitarian assistance, but all other aspects of life. Zero entrance. So the question is not taking the Israeli argument that this humanitarian aid is going to Hamas. This is the way of twisting things. Israel, they were very clear when they started this genocide. They said that we will cut water, medicine, electricity, all the aspects of life on Gaza. So they cut this intentionally, not because water is going to Hamas. Water is going to the people of Gaza, and electricity is going to the people of Gaza. I think the genocidal intent by the Israeli officials was clear enough when they called us the children of dark. So I think it is better not to buy the Israeli argument about the humanitarian aid. There is thousands of trucks are waiting on the borders in Gaza. If Israel trying to look or to seem as if they are humanitarian and as if they are want to help the Palestinians in Gaza, they should let all the humanitarian aid to enter to Gaza and will be reached out to the people of Gaza once it is inside Gaza. But unfortunately, nothing is entering Gaza now because Israel wants to commit a genocide. They gave us only two options, or to be killed or to be forcibly transferred out of Gaza. There is no third option for the Palestinians in Gaza, and this is the real reason for what Israel is doing now in Gaza.
Well, sir, thank you so much for your time today at W Radio. Yeah. And we hope
thank you so much.
Bueno, acá nos dice que desafortunadamente lo que parece que estamos diciendo es el argumento israelí. Dice que esto es un argumento que jamás se queda con la ayuda humanitaria, que esto es un argumento israelí para no mandarle, para no dejar entrar la ayuda humanitaria a Gaza. Nos dice que lo que hay es una falta de ayuda que no está entrando. Dice que hace 10 días no entra ayuda humanitaria a Gaza y que no hay posibilidades de que las cosas mejoren si no entra la ayuda humanitaria. Dice que antes del 7 de octubre entraban alrededor de 500 camiones diarios, pero que Gaza necesita más de 1,000 camiones diarios. Él acá también menciona que Israel fue claro que iba a cortar el agua, la electricidad de Gaza, y esto nos dice que es una intención genocida. Dice que, bueno, él vuelve a recalcar el hecho de que miles de camiones están esperando afuera de Gaza para poder entrar con esta ayuda humanitaria, y dice que una vez estos camiones puedan entrar, ya todo va a estar resuelto y que se le va a entregar a las personas. Dice que esto de que jamás se queda con parte de la ayuda humanitaria es un argumento israelí y que no hay, que bueno, también menciona que no hay opciones para los gazatíes, que las opciones son dejarse morir o ser desplazados para otros lados.